CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are, every weekday afternoon at this time, as we set an hour aside to just answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, what we hear in church. If you got a question, call us, 8888-ASK-CSN, and we'll be sure to get to your phone call today. Got a couple lines open, so if you call right now, you're sure to get on, and that's good news. Joining me today's special guest, featured CSN speaker, Morning Times here, we have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike. Aloha to all listeners out there. Great to be with you on To Every Man an Answer. Looking forward to the questions that come in. It's always a joy. I say this every Thursday. It's a joy to hear from the folks, and they're wanting to grow in God's word and be a blessed people, and also to share their faith with the lost and to build up the body of Christ as we are called to disciple one another. It's a joy to be with you, Mike. Looking forward to the program and all the great calls that come in.
Amen. It's always a blessing to be with you. And again, if you're ever visiting Hawaii and you're in Honolulu,
yes.
I know Daryl would love to see you. Daryl, tell us real quick how to find your church.
Well, we used to be at Pearl Harbor itself. That's what we're called, Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor. Then the Navy wanted the property back, so we couldn't fight the Navy. So we've moved more towards the center of the island now. And just go to our website, Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor. It gives you the directions right there. It's easy to find. And our services are at 8:30 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and then 6 o'clock at night, or excuse me, 5 o'clock on Sundays in the evening, and then another one at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. And there's a whole lot of other things going on. But it's exciting when people walk through the doors and say, hey, I see you on To Every Man an Answer, or I listen to you on CSN. In fact, I just got a call from a fellow pastor. He just spoke here at our church, Reasons for Hope with Carl Kirby. He has all these debunked videos. They're really excellent about debunking all the fallacies this world throws at us and false teachers throw at us. And he was said, hey, I was driving to Cincinnati, Ohio. I heard you on the radio, you know, with your radio program. And he goes, just keep up the good work. And so, Mike, we're out there. We're doing our best to preach the word of God and to bless people's lives and hearts. It's a lot of fun. Got another email from a Catholic out there and said, thanks for speaking up to the Catholics. I'm a former Catholic, and I'm trying to reach my Catholic friends, so I'm going to be sharing with them and so on. So we cover a variety of topics. We go through the books of the Bible, and it's a real joy. And right now we're in a love series called the Love Series on Sunday mornings. And then on Wednesday nights we're doing a Church Power Series. So Lord is good. All glory goes to God. Mike, what you got going on yourself? How about you?
Well, I'm currently on the Big Island of Hawaii. And I've been speaking in different fellowships, and it's been a really great time. Always looking forward to meeting those people. Listen to us on the radio. And then not this Sunday, but next Sunday, back in Twin Falls, Idaho, and look forward to being and seeing everybody there in Idaho again. It'll be a blessed, wonderful time. Well, let's go to the phones, 8888-ASK-CSN. If you'd like to be part of the program today, Melissa in Boise, Idaho, I welcome.
Thank you, pastors. I have a question on Hosea chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Is that about the millennium?
I believe it is, and I believe it's part of the restoration of God towards Israel. Let me just read verse 19. I'll betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. So it forever would indicate that it has to be towards the end, as that is not the case right now. But God has his eye. Now, this whole interesting story about Hosea and all the things that God had him go through, this is what I believe, again, is God's demonstration that though they may have not remembered their covenant with God concerning Abraham and all the promises that God made to Abraham, they were short on their end of the deal. God is not short on his end of the deal. The idea of replacement theology, well, you know, Israel's been a bunch of rascals and there's not going to be, you know, God's done with them and God has nothing more to do with Israel. All those verses that speak of Israel are really pertaining to the church simply are just not true. God's not forgotten his people. If you read Paul's writings, you look at Galatians, God's not forgotten Israel. And so your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, also verse 18, as you mentioned, Melissa, verse 18 reads, in that day, God says, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth. I will make them lie down safely. And then goes into the betrothal and so forth. And it's so exciting. At the second return of Jesus Christ, we'll have the Battle of Armageddon. The Lord will wipe out his enemies. And then all the precious promises that were given to Israel for peace and prosperity and that beautiful spiritual fellowship that will take place during the thousand-year reign of Christ. Revelation 20 says six times that Jesus will reign and rule for 1,000 years. We as believers have gone up in the rapture before the great tribulation period. Then as the 7 years culminate in the second return of Jesus Christ, of which we return with our Lord Jesus on white horses, and he defeats his enemies, then he will establish his throne in Jerusalem. It's called the throne of David, and he will establish that, and he will reign and rule across the earth for that 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years is up, just to be brief, I won't go into all the details, then we'll head off to the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. But during that 1,000 years and into the new heavens, the new earth, new Jerusalem, the promises of God that he's spoken through all the prophets and also in the New Testament will be fulfilled as he's promised Israel. God is not forsaking Israel. Oh, as Mike just shared with you, he is not forsaking Israel. God is dealing with them to this very day right now. We see it happening in the Middle East. And they will ultimately turn to him during the tribulation. 144,000 Jews will be anointed and sealed by God. And they're from the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to be preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. Many will be saved, and these 144,000 cannot be killed. And God will have his seal upon them. He will protect them, and they will preach the gospel of Jesus, the Yeshua HaMashiach, meaning Jesus is their Messiah. So it's going to be an exciting time ahead, although the Jewish people will go through tremendous, tremendous struggles. But God will prove himself faithful, even in that Ezekiel war that we tend to talk about occasionally, Mike. I'll give it back to you.
No, amen. And so I got to commend you, Melissa, for studying and recognizing that. That's very, very good. I hope that answers it for you.
That does. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that. Share it with your friends. Melissa, keep reading. Got any more questions? Please call us back. Let's go to Bruce in Northern Michigan. Hi and welcome.
Hi, guys. My question has to do with Lent and Ash Wednesday. I go to an Evangelical Covenant church here, small church, and we had a service last night doing Ash Wednesday. And about all I know about it, I haven't really done it at all over the years that I've been going to church until I got here. And I opted out of getting the ash X or cross, whatever, on my forehead because I just wasn't comfortable doing it because I'm pretty sure it's a Catholic tradition. So I just sort of, you know, held back on it. But I guess my question is should evangelical churches be observing that? And if so, I mean, is it wrong to do? If not, you know, should I just go along with it?
Well, I don't know if it's wrong to do, but it's not prescribed to do. We don't find it mentioned in the Old Testament. We don't find it mentioned in the New Testament. And so there's no spiritual advancement in an individual's life for doing it. Oh, that's a pretty bold statement. But let me just share this with you. There's a lot of different things that people practice, a lot of different rituals that people hold on to. But it doesn't make any more spiritual than someone who doesn't do those things. Non-reason religious experience has little to do with Christianity. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Ash Wednesday is not in there. It was never taught by Jesus. It was never practiced by the disciples. And we don't find the early church embracing it. And this is how we know what church doctrine is. Now, I can understand some churches maybe having feet washing at their communion service. But Ash Wednesday is something completely out of the ordinary. I mean, it's not even remotely indicated. And so I don't know why an evangelical church would be doing these kinds of things, because my next question is, what's next? Are we going to be praying to the dead saints? Or are we going to be embracing Mary as a co-redemptress? See, bad doctrine slips in very insidiously. Well, you know, it doesn't seem that bad. It's kind of a weird thing people do, but it has no religious value. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, I agree with Mike. Exactly what he's saying is we can't find any place that Jesus taught in the Gospels. You don't see it taught in the Book of Acts. You don't find it in the Epistles. And those, that's kind of like the trifecta of sound doctrine. So if it's not there, why am I doing this? It's important to realize that we must follow sound doctrine. Now, if people want to do it, it's not a sin, so to speak, but it's just not anything that we need to practice and perform. It's the 40 days of Lent. It's actually 46 days because they don't count Sundays, but it's 40 days. They call it 40 days of Lent. And then they put the at the beginning of it is Ash Wednesday, when they put the ashes in the form of a cross on their forehead. And it's to show that they're signed. And many times during the Lent, people give up certain habits, you know, usually some kind of bad habit or whatever, or something that
I gave up opera.
Yeah. There you go, man. And they may give up. I was reading a little bit about it. Sometimes people give up smoking, which is probably they should just give it up for life, because it's not going to help them in the long run. But it's just a Catholic thing. And I think, Mike, you hit the nail on the head when you said sometimes that, and also if you follow that, then what's the next teaching that you're going to follow? It could be repetitious prayers, like doing the rosary. Jesus said, don't do repetitious prayers in the Gospels. As you shared, not praying to Mary. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you always see that through the Book of Acts and the Gospels. They're always praying in the name of Jesus Christ, as well as you have the false doctrine of purgatory, where someone can die and then spend some time in the prison of purgatory, and you have people on earth praying for them and lighting candles for them, and then ultimately they're going to get out and go to heaven. Well, the Bible says no. Once you die, then comes the judgment. Jesus says it's not becoming part of belonging to the Roman Catholic Church or a Protestant church is that you must be born again. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So these are the aspects of, once you start getting off in a variety of one area, you may get off in a variety of areas. And this is why we study the word. It's just something that Catholics like to do. It's their 40 days of Lent. But I was thinking about it also. I go, you know, we should be living our lives in a manner that we're not, if we're going to give up something not good for us, why are we not
40 days? Give it up, period.
Give it up, period, in 365 days a year for the Lord, because he's done so much for us. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, you know, and like I say, I may make a lot of people mad by saying these things, but I didn't say it. Jesus did. We yes. live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and Lent is not in there. So what value then is it? So let me say this again, as I started, Bruce, it's not that it's evil, but that unfortunately it can lead to other things. In other words, well, this seems to be kind of spiritual. Well, what else is spiritual? You know, we have a statue of Saint Peter in the living room, or what? And this is what I don't get. If you're going to give something up for the Lord, why would you wait before Easter to do it? Just give it up if you know you shouldn't be doing it. Well, it's something I really like. You know, I really like ice cream and I'm giving it up for God. Well, you know, in the form of a fast, okay, I understand that. That is in the Bible, but Lent isn't. And I think we have to be very careful to add to God's word, because again, adding these different ideas that gain some kind of spirituality, or, you know, I'm doing these things and wow, you know, because I'm doing these things, man, God's going to really bless me now. No, we're blessed because we're under the blood of Jesus Christ, not because I do something or I don't do something. Hope that helps, Bruce.
Yeah, and I don't perceive any mission creep like that, like you were talking about, you know, other things, you know, pushing their way in. That on the same hand, I might just have a word with the pastor and, you know, see, you know, see where he's at.
Well, I would just say, where is this in the Bible? You know, we're supposed to be a Bible-based church. Where is this in the Bible? And then if he says, well, this is a tradition, Jesus warned about the traditions of men. So I think we have to be very careful. And then, and if he defends it, then my next question to him would be, what are you considering doing anything else along these lines that's not biblically outlined? Now, why do we have baptisms? It's in the Bible. But Lent isn't. And so if we're going to start doing non-reason religious experiences and somehow to either gain the attention of God or justify myself or some way, I think we need to be extremely careful of these things because we're not justified because that I gave up ice cream or Mama Cass or something else. I'm a child of God and he loves me. And my children don't come to me and say, Daddy, you know, I gave up riding my bicycle for a week because I really love you. I go, well, why'd you do that for? Now you have to walk everywhere. You see what I mean? And so non-reason, religious experience, dangerous stuff. Hope that helps, Bruce. Stay in line. We'll send you some books, some DVDs, okay?
Hey, thanks, guys. Enjoy Hawaii.
Yeah, if you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to, I don't know who we're going to. We're looking here. Who we're going to go to. I'm going to pick one right here. We're going to go to Jim. Louisiana. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good. How may we help?
I had a question about annihilation. You know, people say that how could a good, loving God, you know, just send people into eternal torment, you know, if they believe that eventually hell will just be done away with and, you know, that it'll just all end and it won't be there. When scripture mm-hmm. says that, you know, that hell would be cast into a lake of fire forever. So I just wanted to know what your guys' opinion on that was.
Well, I don't have an opinion, but God does. And it's found in the book of Jude, the little book right before Revelation. And I'll just read it to you. Because here we're talking about people, like, for instance, the people were in Egypt in verse 5. Afterwards were destroyed because they did not believe. Now, as we get down to verse 7, it says, as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, in similar manner to these, giving us the illustration of those before, those that refused to believe in God's promises as they came out of Egypt and all. Notice what it says here. Having given themselves over to sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of hell, of eternal fire. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Any church, ministry, group, man, whatever, says hell is not eternal, they are rebuking God's word. And I've learned a lot of things in my life, but that's something I never will do. And when the Bible says eternal fire, the Bible oftentimes speaks of this fire that burns forever and ever. I do not believe that it will be done away with. For some reason, and let me just share this with you, Jesus gave up all the worship of heaven, the adoration of heaven, to come to be born in a dirty manger, to be spit on, to have his beard pulled out, to be blindfolded and beaten, a crown of thorns shoved on his head, and a public humiliation of death on the cross to keep us from this place called hell. Our sins could be forgiven. That's what he did. If it was annihilation, I don't think he would have done that. Well, you know, it's too bad to be you. poof, you're gone. Oh, well, that's just the way it is. No, I believe that every being, every human, everything that God creates in this world, we are created in his image, has an eternal destiny. Some, the Bible says, for eternal life, some for eternal damnation. And when I see verses like this in Jude, I see other places all the way through the scripture speaking of eternal fire. And then we find verses where it's talking about people that go there. I'm not going to change God's word because, oh, well, you know, God's just this big old guy in the sky. And, you know, he has long flowing gray hair with his big rosy sunglasses on. And he reaches out across the Sistine Chapel and touches man on the end of his fingers. And he's a loving God. Well, that's true. He is a loving God. Loving so much that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the idea that, well, hell isn't eternal. All paths lead to God. We are all God's children. Not true. This is not true. God did create all of us. God did give us a plan to be his children forever. But to say that everybody on the earth is God's children, that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we need to be born again by the Spirit of God. And modern day modernism says, oh no, all paths lead to God. You know, God is love. Love is God. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said that. Love is God. Wow, nothing's, it's wrong. Love is an attribute of God, but love is not God. God is love, but God also judges. God also stands for what's righteous. God also will separate the sheep from the goats, it says. So when I read here in the book of Jude that the vengeance of eternal fire for these that have rejected him, I'm going to take him, Jim, at what the word of God says. Daryl, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, at the end of Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus says, and just what you mentioned, Mike, about the separating the sheep and the goats, Jesus says this as follows, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. People are going to live eternity either in hell or in heaven, one or the other. And in the book of Revelation, it says, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Anyone not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be tormented forever and ever. It also says in Revelation 20, 14 and 15. Now, there's an assumption that over a period of time, as these people in hell, they would actually turn to God and repent of their sins and then begin to love God. People that go to hell are never going to want to love God. They're going to be continuously rebellious against God. They constantly be crying out like those at the cross, crucify him, crucify him. This is important to understand. Everyone has an opportunity to know God. Everyone. God is fair. God is equal for all people, no matter if they're in the jungles of the Congo or the Amazon. God knows all people. He knows all hearts. And they all have the opportunity to come to know him. God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. This is the heart of God. And so God is always just. He knows all things. He's perfect in all his ways. He is infinite. We're finite. We need to get our finite minds out of the business of God and just follow what the scriptures declare, believe it for what it says. That it is an everlasting punishment in outer darkness where there's weeping, gnashing of teeth, where the worm or the maggot dieth not. That's going to be hell forever and ever. And that's what people choose for their own eternal destiny. They chose to reject God. They chose to reject Jesus Christ. They chose to go to hell. And that hell was made for the devil and the angels, the fallen angels. But man's following of the devil and the fallen angels sends himself to hell. And God wants us to have life and life more abundantly and life everlasting. But you have to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. That's the only way to do it. Mike?
Amen. So I hope that sheds some light on it for you, Jim.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, brother. I appreciate it.
Right on.
Yeah, I mean, we have to go by what, because, and I think it's really important, everybody, that we have to realize that the opinions that I have or that we all have shouldn't be really personal opinions. It's what the Word of God says.
Yes.
That's how God's going to judge the world someday. Well, you know, how do you feel about abortion? Well, you know, it's a woman's right to choose. You know, I'm a Christian, but I think it's all right for a woman to decide that. You know, it's her own body. What does the Bible say about it? It says that God made that individual, and that child is not her body. Very clear. David said, King David said, you knew me in my mother's womb. So when we have people that are saying, well, I'm a Christian or I believe in the Christian faith, and yet they hold doctrine opposite to what God says, hey, listen, I've done that in my life, and God changed my heart. And it wasn't just God changing my heart, it was his word that changed my heart. Mm-hmm. So either we're people of the word, or we're people of popular opinion, or we're people of our own personal opinion, and we're not. In fact, I believe when we become born again, that's the one thing we absolutely have to repent of, is what I think. Not my will, Paul says, thy will be done. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, if we don't know what God's word says, how will we ever do his word? So we have people going around using the name Christian, but they're holding many, many anti-Christ ideas. Now, does that make them not a Christian? No, not necessarily. But it does make them maybe time to go read your Bible and begin to adapt more and more, as Paul says, that we would have the mind of Christ. So important. Amen. Stay on the line, Jim. Send you out some books, DVDs. We're coming up on a break, everyone. We're going to have a whole lot more of Terry Men Answer right after this. We'll be right back.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with, here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And again, we're going to go back to the phones. And we have on the line with us Jesse in San Diego. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going, Pastor Mike? Pastor Daryl, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I got a question for you. How are you listening to us in San Diego?
Actually, that's a San Diego number, but I'm actually in Pensacola, and I listen to you guys on the app.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Okay. The reason why is we just went on the air in San Diego Monday. We're only running at half power right now, and we're getting reports from all over. So from down there, people are able to tune us in. You'll hear us a lot better. Pastor Pete over at Calvary Chapel El Centro, over right over by Mexicali, we're getting into that area as well. And so it's really exciting to see this brand new station that just came on the air. And so it will it'll get a lot better here in about 3 or 4 weeks. And so for those that are in that San Diego area, hey, I'm glad you're listening. Now, Jesse, I'm glad you called. How can we help?
Yes, sir. So I was listening. First of all, I've been listening to your show now for probably about 8 or 9 months. I was born again in January of 2024, and then I came across you not too long after that. And just really enjoy what you do on this show, and try to live my life by the Bible nowadays. And but you know, I was listening to the caller who called in about Lent and his question about it. And you know, when I think about Matthew chapter 6:16-18, where he talks to, where Jesus talks about fasting. And I just wanted to get your take on that, because it seems like that would indicate that the way people go about Lent with like demonstrating that they're actually fasting would kind of be, would kind of conflict with what Jesus is talking about there.
Well, yeah, because he says when you fast, don't let anybody know about it. And the first thing they do is put ashes on your forehead. And there's a problem there. Now, I want to clarify something. I never said it was sin for everybody listening. I just said it was a non-reason religious experience, you know, thing people do. And again, we want to look at something. If you're going to fast, if you're going to give something up for the Lord, you don't let anybody do it, know about it, because God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. But the problem with oftentimes this is it looks like a pretense. And I think that's where the problem comes from. And again, what did you give up for Lent? What did you, you know, well, when I became a Christian, I gave up the world. And I try every day to keep continuing to give it up, because we realize there's no good thing dwells in the flesh, and no good thing dwells in this evil world. We're about our Father's business. And so, Daryl, your thoughts. Daryl, we don't have your audio, so.
Hey, I got it. I'm back on. Okay, sorry, guys.
Sorry. Okay, got it.
We fight against, you know, as Christians, we fight against the devil. We fight against this world, and we fight against our flesh because of our sin nature and the corruption and perversions of the world. And of course, the devil's always trying to tempt us and deceive us. So we have to be strong in the Word of God. That's where we're going to find truth. We're going to find love. We're going to find power. We're going to find forgiveness, find humility. But we also find holiness and God's righteousness. And that's very important for us as believers. We're to be fully in the armor of God with a breastplate of righteousness, so that we shine forth and we're shining forth God's glory and God's right ways and His love and His goodness. And of course, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith. We quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Our loins girt about with truth, helmet of salvation, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace wherever we go. So it's important that we get fully armored up each and every day, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of darkness and wickedness in the lower heavens. And Paul describes that to us because he wants us to fully understand what we're going through. You know, when we talk about Lent and so forth and that, it's just a Catholic tradition. It's not, as we shared, it's not in the Bible. And as you brought forth, Jesse, this passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and they appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, God doesn't want us to have this great big religious display and how super religious we are. He wants us to just live for him and serve him. And if you're going to pray, go into your prayer closet and pray. He'll reward you openly. You're going to fast. Don't run around telling me, oh, I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm suffering. No, just do your fasting and pray and whatever God's leading you to pray about and seek him on. And then let the Lord do the rest of the work and rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, as Paul writes. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. Hope that helps, Jesse.
No, absolutely. Thank you again, gentlemen. I appreciate everything you do. God bless you.
God bless you. God is good. And Jesse, if you need us, we're here for you. Stay online if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Great to share with your friends. For calling in. Let's go to Kevin in Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha. I was just calling to ask for prayer today. My younger cousin, she was born without anus or anal, and they surgically had to cut her one, and she was a bloated little girl. She was having a hard time do number one, not only number two, but she was having a hard time with that. And because of that, now she has to do a kidney transplant. And her father's a match, but I just call in for ask, make sure that everything is in God's hands and everything goes smoothly. And then my younger son, 1-year-old, he has focal epilepsy. He has some kind of something going on in his head. If you look at him, he looks like a perfectly normal kid, but I'm having to give him this medicine called Keppra. And everybody that I know, and even when I first had to give him the Keppra, they gave me 3 pages long of side effects. And I was like, man, these people making me poison my own child. It's like, oh, my goodness. But so, yeah, we're going to reevaluate his situation when he comes 3 years old. So he has to take the medicine up until then. Right now, we're going to try and enroll him in Easter Seals and try, because he's not trying to talk as much. He's almost going to be 2. He's not trying to talk as much, and his balance is off. But he is flat-footed. But other than that, I don't really care for man-made medicine as much as the normal some people do. But yeah, so other than my son's focal epilepsy and my younger cousin's kidney transplant, I just ask you for prayer on those, them too.
Kevin, we will pray for them, and I'm flat-footed too, so I survive. Are you part of a local fellowship in Hawaii?
Sir, I go to the Cross Church in in Omau. Just on the top of the south side of Kauai.
Well, I would just really encourage you to go and have the elders of the church lay hands on your son, anoint him with oil, and pray for him. Because I believe the power of God. James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, lay hands on him. And so how much do we do and how much does God do? God does everything after we do what God has called us to do. So I want to, first of all, just tell you, my heart goes out to you, because there's nothing, I don't think there's anything worse on a parent than sick kids. And I often wonder how God reacts to so many of his kids being sick as well. But I don't think there's anything that breaks the heart of a parent more than sick children. And so our prayers, and we will pray for your son as well as your is it your cousin or your niece?
She's young enough to be my, I think she's like 6 or 7 years old, but it's my first cousin's baby. So I think it's my second cousin.
Second cousin. Well, we'll pray for her too, because, you know, this old world, our old bodies are under a curse and they break down and all those things. Darrell, why don't you pray for his family? Because again, I believe it's so hard sometimes to even focus on anything else when you have sick children.
Amen. Everyone out there listening, join us in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we pray for this precious girl, I believe it is, this younger cousin, the second cousin. We pray for her kidney transplant as well as the other areas of that have been harmed by whatever's gone on in her body, Lord, as she was born. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you just bring healing to her, Lord, and strength to her and comfort to her and strength to the parents, because it does really break your heart and it's so difficult to deal with. And so, Lord Jesus, we just trust in you as the great physician, and that this precious one can just get healed up miraculously or by the physicality of using these doctors who you have given the great wisdom and knowledge to do a great and mighty work in this young girl. Also, Lord, we pray for this little one-year-old boy, and praying that this epilepsy can be stopped and that he can be healed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Lord Jesus, that you would just touch his body and heal him and get this epilepsy out of him, Lord God. And
yes, God.
Hopefully there won't be need for this medicines and so forth, all the side effects. And yet, Lord, we just want to hear your voice and allow you to do your work. And may you receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. May you bless our brother mightily and abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kevin, our prayers are with you. Let us know how everything goes. And do have your son prayed over, anointed. I think
that's
so important. We serve a miracle working God, and God hears our prayers, and he loves his little ones. And so, and Father, again, God who heals, would you just reach your hand of healing to Kevin's son in Jesus' name? Amen. Kevin, stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. Great to share with your friends. Share them with your church. And if you need us, we're here, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you guys very much. You guys have a wonderful day. Aloha.
Mahalo. And God bless blessings you, to you.
Mahalo.
Let's go to Don, Georgia. Hi, welcome.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about, I'm fortunate enough to work in a place where we were able to share our morning devotionals with our colleagues. And this week we've been discussing, in route, I listened to CSN Radio and one of the pastors, and we were discussing one of the programs. And the pastor said that he was comparing Jesus' ministry to a former college basketball coach that he had, who had traveled to Africa to learn more about his player so he could better communicate to his player. And he compared Jesus' ministry to that college coach and said that Jesus did the same thing. He traveled extensively to learn more about man's culture so that he could better understand man and man's frailty to sin. And the pastor's exact words were, one day Jesus realized that he would have to restore man to God's relationship. And this is on one of your programs, and not your program, but on CSN Radio.
No, but you know what? Very quickly, Don, I would really appreciate you, after the program is over, tell the operator who it was. We'd like to know. We'd like to review that. Because one of the things we endeavor to do here at CSN is make sure that what is said is accurate. Jesus did not learn. He knew everything. He didn't have to learn from culture. He didn't have to learn from anything like that. We remember Jesus went to a house, and a woman came in and broke the alabaster box and anointed his feet. And they said, "Ooh, if he was really a prophet of God, he'd know what manner of woman is touching him." And that's when Jesus, knowing their thoughts, responded to them. Jesus knows everything. He doesn't learn anything. And I believe, again, he was fully God, fully man. When he came to his earthly body, there was a few things that the Father withheld from him, and we know that. The time of the rapture of the church, Jesus said, only my Father knows, not even the angels know. So that was withheld. But when we see Jesus walking on the water, multiplying the loaves and fishes, knowing what the people needed, and to say that Jesus was learning, this sounds really reminiscent of The Chosen. And The Chosen is a very popular TV series right now, but very, very inaccurate. I would say only 10% is probably the Bible. Everything else is made up, and some of it is downright heresy. So you have to be very careful. And many ministers and many people are duped by it. I often wondered in the Bible where it talked about in the last days, they'll be preaching another Jesus. And I went, well, how could somebody else hear about another Jesus? Well, now with the advent of media, television, internet, all these things, I think the idea of these weak Jesuses are being promoted. And that is not our King. And he shall be called, Matthew 1:1, Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's who he is. And so, no, I'd like to know who that is. And I'd like to review that and make sure, because I'm not doubting you, dear. I'm just simply saying we want to make sure, because one of the things we want to do is we want to make sure that's, as Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus learning culture to minister to culture is not biblical. So any last thoughts on that, Daryl?
Yeah, no, it's. I almost chuckle at it because he is Emmanuel from the very beginning. He is God with us. He's God incarnate. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. So is the Son. He is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent in all places at all times. Jesus is immutable. He doesn't change. That's who he is. This is the attributes of God, of who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is. It's very important that we don't say Jesus was learning as he was going along. He knows all things. He knows us inside and out. He searches our hearts, and he delivers the right message to us continuously. What he did give up was when he came to earth was he gave up the glories of heaven to put on the body of flesh, to live amongst us, and then to share with us and to direct us to our Heavenly Father. And he is the creator also. The Father created, the Son created, the Holy Spirit created. That's why we have the word Elohim in the Old Testament. El meaning singular, Elo meaning dual, Elohim meaning plural. Not plural gods, but three persons in one, which we call the Trinity. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, so Don, appreciate that. And please let them know. And I just let them know. Tell them Mike wants to know. And I'll be glad to review that, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don, and thank you all of you who listen to CSN. And sometimes somebody might say something they really didn't mean the way it came out or whatever. We just want to make sure. And number two, if you're listening to CSN and then one day you can't hear it, please let us know. You're our eyes, you're our ears out there, and maybe we change frequencies, but we just want to know if you can't hear us, please let us know. Now, if you're traveling and you don't have a CSN station in your area, you can always go to csnradio.com, csnradio.com, and hit live audio streaming, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world that has internet. And so it's always a blessing to be able to do that. But Don, please let us know who that was, and I will do my best to do some research on that for you. And I appreciate your ears, as I do everyone's and everybody's prayers and support. Don Staline, we'll get you taken care of with a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Randy, Golden Valley, Arizona, out by Kingman, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, right by Kingman. About 8 miles is where I'm living in Golden Valley. So,
yes.
Hi, pastors. Yeah, you guys do a great job. I love you guys. I know the answer, I think, but I want to get it from you just to make sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read 2 to 4. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, that's what we're seeing in the news right now, that the nations are saying they want peace and safety. It's getting close.
Yes.
Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. The rapture will already happen there. That's just signifying that if you don't go in the rapture, because First Thessalonians chapter 4:15 is just before that. That's where
A lot of times you have to realize that a lot of times in Jewish writing, they'll make a statement and then they'll go back and fill in the details. Now, the second coming of Christ is not as a thief. The second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation period, as lightning flashes from the east and goes into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Every eye will see him, the Bible says. This is not going to be a sneak preview. It's going to be every eye will see him as he prepares to come back and set up the thousand-year reign, defeat those enemies of God there in the Valley of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon. And so it is not talking about that. Anytime you read about Jesus coming as a thief, I believe is in direct reference to the rapture of the church, because we know exactly when the second coming of Christ is. Oh, yes, we do. The Bible tells us. You find the numbers there in Daniel chapter 12, how many days it is from the abomination which makes desolate to the coming of the Messiah. We know exactly how many days it is. So we know that. That isn't coming like a thief. You know, it tells us. But the rapture, we don't know. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, from the abomination desolation will be exactly 1260 days to the second coming of Christ. As Mike just shared, the rapture of the church will take place. It's imminent. We just don't know when. It could happen today. It could happen a week from now. It could happen 5 years from now. The Lord left it that way because he just says, watch and be ready. You know not the hour when your Lord will come. And he's speaking to the church there. Two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be in bed. One will be taken, the other left. And then he goes into the thief in the night and so forth. So it's important for us to realize that the rapture could happen any day now. We don't want to be left behind. We want to be followers of Christ and letting him use our lives. And so as we see the day approaching, this peace and safety and then sudden destruction, well, it appears like, okay, there's times when we have peace and maybe safety, but Jesus also said there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. These events will take place. And thus we realize that we're living in these troubled times. But they'll think peace and safety. But when the rapture happens, then you got the four horsemen of the apocalypse and so forth. And that's going to be taking place. And the Antichrist will ride to power. He'll present a false peace plan, a false safety plan. And then he's going to begin to become a tyrant and reign and rule across the whole world. And ultimately, if you don't take the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, halfway through the tribulation, you're going to be killed for not taking the mark, showing your allegiance to the Antichrist. So all these things is kind of a scenario of the last days. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, if you read just five more verses down from there, go to verse 9 as an example of the same passage that you're speaking of. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to Revelation 3:10, he says, because you've kept my word, I will keep you from that hour of trouble that's going to come upon the whole world. So we know that this is before the tribulation period. Hope that helps.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, I was just going to go to that. Yeah, chapter 9 of Thessalonians. Yeah, God did not appoint us to wrath. Yeah. And one more thing is, Pastor Mike, the millennium, 1,000 years, that's going to be immortal time on the earth, but we'll be in our new bodies. That'll be
right. But there will be regular human beings living on this earth that absolutely time does affect. And so they said a child that dies at 100, a person that dies at 100 years old will be considered a child. Because the longevity of man will once again be restored back the way it was in the garden. And so I believe that's really, really important. I hope that answers it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. 1,000 years, that's a long, long time, but that's good. Yeah.
You can get your house paid off. I always think about that. You know, about the time we get our house paid off, you know, we're, you know, 65, you know, we finally, you know, our 35-year or 30-year mortgage is finally paid off. And, your house was paid off. Time to die. You know, so I've always wondered about that things that make you go, but
exactly.
Stay online, Randy, and we'll get some books, DVDs out to you. Great to share with your fellowship and with friends, and especially those that aren't born again, because sometimes, a book or a DVD or something like that will challenge their thoughts and you'll be able to do it. I tell people, use God of Wonders. Said, hey, I got this DVD. Watch it. tell me what's wrong with it. So they're going to watch it objectively. And it's really good. It's like done like National Geographic, but it's how God made everything. And if God made everything, has a purpose for that, he's got a purpose for us. Stay on line, Randy. We'll get you taken care of. Trevor, the rest, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Daryl, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you. God bless.
Blessings to you. Until then, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.